Amen. Please be seated. And let's turn again tonight to the book of Exodus. Tonight we come to chapter 12, where we find the instructions for the Passover. And I want you to imagine that the Passover didn't occur 3,500 years ago in Egypt, but the Passover was happening today or tonight. This very night at midnight, God will pass over each one of your houses. Imagine what that would be like. If he were to pass over your house tonight at midnight, just like we see in Exodus 12, what would happen? What would be protecting you? What would be protecting your household, your family? Would the Lord withhold judgment from you because you were someone who attended church? Would the Lord withhold judgment for you because you were a nice person, a church member, someone who tithed, and someone who even served in the church? Would the Lord withhold judgment from you because you memorized some scripture? What would be protecting your home? Well, tonight we're reminded that the only thing that protects us from the wrath and judgment of God that we all deserve is only the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb applied to the door, applied to your heart by faith. That's the message of the Passover. And we see this tonight in Exodus 12. So we'll begin with verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts, and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you again for your holy, perfect word, Lord. We thank you that you speak your word into our life and into our hearts, Lord. We thank you for the amazing picture of the Passover lamb, Lord, the lamb that was slain that points us so clearly to our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, may we look to him alone tonight. May we be covered by his blood alone. By his wounds we are healed. Lord, by his blood we are saved. And so help us, Father, to apply your word by the power of your Spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I want us to begin tonight first with considering the new calendar. Notice as our passage begins, the Lord announces that there will be a brand new calendar. You see verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. This shall be the first month of the year for you." Before announcing the Passover, God tells Moses and Aaron and the people that there's going to be a new way of doing things. There's a new calendar. Your year is going to be turned upside down. In Egypt, for the last 400 years, the Israelites have been forced to live by the Egyptian calendar. The Egyptian calendar, which is based on the whims of Pharaoh, and it's based on the worship of false gods. That's how they set their calendar, their dates, their months. So as the passage begins, the Lord is marking a new beginning for his children. When you leave, as you leave and are redeemed from slavery in Egypt, as the Exodus begins, the Passover, and you're set free from slavery, by the new beginning, you will have a new calendar. Notice verse 1, the word beginning is often translated head or top, meaning or best, meaning this will be the best of all months, the head of all months, the top of all months. Why would this be the top of all months? Because this is the month of redemption. This is the month where you can look back for year after year after year. You can still look back to this day. This is the month of Passover. And so this is the month that begins God's new work in his people, the Israelites. Each year from this year forward, they would begin their year by thinking of God's redemption. Think of that, starting the year, starting the calendar year off by saying, we start this year again remembering that it is God who rescued us and God who redeemed us. It would be like remembering on New Year's every year that God has redeemed us. If New Year's were Passover, the Lord passed over us and brought us out of Israel, and so God changes our calendar and our way of life. Now, there's a great application here in this first verse for every Christian. Christian, you do not live by the world's schedule. We do not live by the world's calendar. The world does not set the priority for the Christian. We live by God's calendar. And Christian, there is one day on God's calendar set aside for you each and every week. It's not just once a year. Each and every week, there's a holy day, a special day, a day of celebration, a day of rest, a day of enjoyment, a day of worship. Every single week, God sets our calendar and gives us a fresh start. Every single week, we have the opportunity to come together and remember the redemption that we have in Christ. It's at the head of the week, the top of the week, the best part of the week. So just as the Israelites began this new calendar year by celebrating the redemption they have in the Lamb and in the Lord, we have one day every single week to celebrate God's work. Set your calendar by this, by the Lord's Day. Do not miss the Lord's Day and the opportunity he gives you to worship him and celebrate his redemption. Well, second, tonight we see the Passover lamb. We come to verses 3 through 6, and there are detailed instructions for the Passover and the Passover lamb. Now, one thing we've learned throughout this study of Exodus is that God tells his people how we are to worship. God prescribes worship. That was a lot of the source of the conflict between Moses and Pharaoh. We've seen this at least three times. That Moses is saying to Pharaoh, we have to leave Egypt so that we can go out into the wilderness and worship as God has commanded us to. We cannot worship within the bounds of Egypt. We can't leave our women behind. We can't leave our animals behind. We have to do exactly what the Lord has commanded us. We see over and over again that we do not choose how to worship the Lord. God instructs us how he desires to be worshiped. So these commands on the Passover lamb, are teaching the Israelites obedience. And each one is pointing again to God is designing the worship for his people. So first notice verse 5, the instructions on the Passover lamb. The sacrificial lamb is to be a male. Now, why a male? Well, a male lamb was typically stronger, hardier, healthier. This would be a greater sacrifice because it's physically a greater portion of meat. It was a greater, more generous offering. We also know that the lamb being male points to a male representative. It's symbolic. Adam was our first representative, our federal head. As our representative, Adam sinned and fell, and we all fell with him when Adam sinned because he was our leader, our head, our representative. So the lamb being male is pointing to our new federal head, our new representative, who is Jesus Christ. Also, verse 5 tells us the lamb is to be 1 year old. This is also purposeful. A 1 year old lamb would be a lamb fully grown, a lamb at the peak of health, the peak of vitality, the peak of strength, the peak of innocence. So they weren't to choose the oldest male or just some male. They're to choose a male at a specific age because this would be one of the best. Also, verse 5, the lamb is to be without blemish, meaning healthy, without any physical deficiencies, abnormalities, or deformities. This, of course, again points to Christ, the unblemished lamb. Peter said in 1 Peter, "We are ransomed by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or spots." Hebrews 9:14 says, "Christ offered himself without blemish to God." And there's another detail here. Notice, the lamb is to be selected on the 10th day of the month and kept until the 14th day for sacrificing. So for 4 days, the animal was to be identified by the family and receive special care and attention. The purpose in this is that it's driving home the personal nature of the sacrifice. You see stories and you see the movies of families that get attached to a particular animal and what happens when it comes to the day of slaughter. I don't want to slaughter that animal because that's one that I've grown attached to. My heart is attached to this animal. That would happen here in the four days before the sacrifice. This impressed on the people even more deeply that this animal is given on your behalf. The animal is given for you. There's an attachment to the lamb who was slain for them. It's a deeply personal sacrifice. Also notice verse 6, the lamb was to be killed at twilight. The twilight began at the 9th hour of the day, or 3 p.m. There's a very significant connection in Mark 15, which tells us at the 9th hour, or 3 p.m., the time of the beginning of the lamb sacrifice, Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he breathed his last. So Christ on the cross died at the same time of the lamb's sacrifice at twilight. Now, one last thing on this section. Notice the word congregation. We see this in verse 3 and verse 6. Verse 3, all tell all the congregation. Verse 6, the whole assembly of the congregation. Now, this is the first time in the scriptures that we actually see this word. This is the first time that Israel is referred to as a congregation. And this word, we know what this word means. It's a religious group, a religious assembly. It's referring to a spiritual group. And isn't it significant that this takes place at the Passover? This is the time when Israel is first identified as a congregation, as a religious community. Why? Because this is the group of people who are being covered in the lamb, covered by the blood of the lamb. Today, the requirement, we could say, to be a part of God's congregation, his true religious assembly, we would say the invisible church, it's the same. It's all who are covered by the blood of the lamb. That's the only requirement. So this is the first time they are seen as the congregation. Well, third tonight, we've seen the instructions for the Passover lamb. Now we see the blood of the lamb. We move to verse 7. It was not just enough to sacrifice the lamb, but the blood of the lamb had to be applied. Verse 7 tells us, then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. Well, what's the significance of the blood? Why does the blood need to be placed on the doorposts? Well, Genesis chapter 15, when God made his covenant with Abraham, God commanded Abraham to take a heifer, a goat, and a ram and cut each in half. And you remember what happened? The Lord passed between the animals, signifying that breaking the covenant meant the shedding of blood. the sign of the covenant given to Abraham and his offspring. Remember the sign? It was the bloody sign of circumcision. So the lesson is entering into a covenant with God is often done by blood. We know in Scripture, life is in the blood, Leviticus tells us. So the blood on the doorpost is a sign that all who have the blood covering their door are in a covenant relationship with the Lord. The Lord is saying, I have made a promise to you. The blood is the sign of the promise, the sign of life. All who remain uncovered have neglected the covenants. All who are covered by the blood are in covenant with me. So notice the instruction. Blood is to cover the two doorposts and the lintel, which means the whole entrance, every inch of the entrance is covered in blood. It's a picture of being completely covered by Christ. Just as the blood covered the entire door, so the blood of Christ covers all of our sins. Not one sin remains uncovered when you are covered by the blood of Christ. Remember, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin." The sin as a collective word, meaning all of the sins, all of our sins are taken away by the blood of the Lamb when we are covered under His blood. Fourth, we come to the Passover meal. There's also great symbolism in the meal itself, the instructions for the meal. Notice verse 8. We read, they shall eat the flesh that night roasted on the fire, meaning the meat is to be fully cooked. Now the Egyptians, as part of their regular pagan festivals, their religious festivals, they would often eat raw meat. And so the Lord here is again drawing a further distinction here between Egypt and his people, the Israelites. We don't worship, we don't live as the Egyptians do. We live a completely different, set-apart life. And also the lamb being fully cooked on the fire is a picture of the lamb facing God's full judgment. The lamb was to endure the full fire of God's white-hot wrath. Just as we know, Christ on the cross endured the full fire of his Father's wrath. So this lamb was not to be spared from the fire in any way. Also, verse 8, notice they are to eat it with unleavened bread. We know that unleavened bread is the bread of hastiness. It's bread that you can eat quickly, that you can take with you. And this is symbolic of the hasty departure out of Egypt. So they eat it with the unleavened bread, which would become a staple after the Exodus. Verse 8 also tells us they eat the meat with the bitter herbs. The bitter herbs are to be a reminder of the bitter suffering that they experienced under the Egyptians, under Pharaoh. And then notice verse 10. Let none of the meal, let none remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. So they were to eat the entire animal that night. And if for some reason that wasn't possible, then any leftovers there to be burnt up. Now scholar John Currid says this, they ate the entire lamb, signifying full-scale redemption. The whole sacrifice, all of the animal was to be consumed, just as all of Christ is given to us. Then notice verse 11. More instructions. You're to eat it with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in hand. Eat it with haste. This word haste, in the Hebrew, it doesn't mean that you're to scarf the food down as quickly as you can. It's more like eat it ready to leave with haste, ready to leave at any time. Eat it ready to get out quickly whenever the Lord calls. You're to have your belt fastened, sandals on your feet, staff in hand, so that you are ready to run out of Egypt whenever the Lord calls. That's how you eat, ready to leave. So the clothing is, in verse 11, is a picture of faith, being ready and prepared and knowing God is going to rescue us soon. God will save us. God will redeem us. Well, fifth tonight, our final point, we see the Lord's judgment. Now, I want you to notice in both verses 12 and 13, you see the word strike. Verse 12, The Lord will pass through Egypt and will strike all the firstborn. Verse 13, I will pass over you and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Actually, if you also look down to verse 29, you see this word again. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt. Now, to strike means to smite or to kill. This is the Lord's judgment. Those who remain uncovered by the blood of the Lamb were struck down at midnight when the Lord passed over. Now, the Hebrew word, interestingly, this word for strike, appears in a very familiar passage, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 reads, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." It's talking about the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53:4, the word smitten by God, it's the same word that's used three times here in Exodus chapter 12. It's the word strike. Christ was smitten. He was struck by God, the firstborn son, struck by God for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. We are not struck down because Christ, the Lamb of God, was struck down in our place. We are covered by Christ, the Lamb of God. That's the message of the Passover. Well, how do we apply this word tonight? A few applications as we leave. Well, first, the shedding of blood. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." This is because the wages of sin is death. There must be bloodshed for sin. There must be punishment for sin. God would not be just if he didn't punish sin. So for the Israelites, it was either the blood of the lamb or the blood of the firstborn. To this day, there must be judgment for sin because God has not changed. He's a holy God, a perfect God, a just God. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. The same God that sent the Passover lamb in Israel, in Egypt. So there must be judgment for sin. It will be your blood shed on account of your own sin, or you can be covered by the blood of Christ. There must be the shedding of blood. Without it, there is no forgiveness of sins, but Christ shed his own blood that you might be covered by him. Second application tonight, feed on Christ. Charles Spurgeon writes this, "The Passover lamb was not killed in order to be looked at, but to be eaten. Christ was not slain that we may hear about him and think about him only, but that we might feed upon him." John 6 tells us, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." So, Christian, what does it mean to feed on Christ? Well, it means to constantly draw spiritual life from him. It means meditating on Christ daily, letting him fill your heart and mind. Just as you eat physical food to fill up your stomach every day, without it, you would starve to death. So you satisfy your soul daily with the goodness of Christ, the grace of Christ, the kindness of Christ, the mercy of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, the presence of Christ. You feed on Christ daily and gain true spiritual life from him. We don't just look at the Lamb. We feed upon the Lamb and draw strength daily from the Lamb. So Christian, are you feeding on Christ daily or are you just admiring him from a distance? And a final application tonight, give all glory to Christ. Notice the phrase in verse 11 of our passage. It is the Lord's Passover. You see this? It's the Lord's Passover. The Passover is all the Lord's work. He provided the lamb. He prescribed the standards. He passed over the home. It's all the Lord's work from start to finish. The Israelites are not to take any credit for themselves. All they are doing is obeying the Lord. It is the Lord's Passover. So Christian, when you think about your own salvation, you say, it is the Lord's work. It is Christ who passed over me. It is Christ who covered me in His blood. Give all glory and praise to God. It is the Lord's Passover. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank You for Your mighty work of salvation and how we see it so clearly in the book of Exodus, so many years before Christ came. Lord, Your plan, Your will, Your sovereign purposes are just astounding and amazing, Lord. Lord, we thank You for the work that You have done in each one of our lives, Lord. And help us not just to look at Christ, Lord, but to feed upon Him and draw our true strength and our hope and our life from Him, Lord. Thank You for Christ, our Passover Lamb. We pray in His name. Amen.